Good morning and welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today our focus is going to be Perek Lamed Aleph, the 31st chapter in Yirmiyahu. This Perek is really one which I would really highly advise people to take a moment to learn inside, really see it inside of for yourselves. It's so rich, it's so thorough, there's so much here, it's almost 40 psukim. It's something which we really ought to appreciate ourselves because there's so many issues here. This is once again like Perek Lamed, a chapter which focuses on the comfort, the nechama that Yirmiyahu is offering. We're going to see his own reaction to this expression. In fact, it serves as haftarah on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So the notion of teshuvah, of return, is very much a theme which is runs through it. So we're going to take a look at this. Before we get to this, many numerous sections throughout the haftarah, there is a discussion as to when this prophecy was actually given. So, like, when you look at the classic Mefarshim, so for instance, like the Radak, as in his commentaries, even on the last Perek, you'll see that the classic Mefarshim view this as a part of the prophecies that Yirmiyahu gives after all these nevuahs of destructions that were in the late 20s of the chapters. Meaning he just gave all these terrible descriptions of destruction, so to speak, to balance that out, he is giving now prophecies of comfort. Whereas Rabbi Lau suggests that the tone of this perek is so optimistic, the tone of this perek is so upbeat, that this is actually given in a much earlier period in Yirmiyahu's life. Far from being balancing out the destruction prophecies, this is given at the times where Yirmiyahu is more optimistic, as the times of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. And he corroborates this with the idea that we're going to see, if you look very carefully as you read through this perek, you'll notice that it is turning towards, a lot of the time, to Ephraim, which is the northern kingdom. We know that in the times of Yoshiyahu was living in the southern kingdom after the destruction that Assyria rendered upon the north. And Yoshiyahu himself made offers, he tendered invitations back to the north to come and join him. And Yirmiyahu is echoing that optimism of the unification of Israel under this very righteous king, Yoshiyahu HaMelech, and this is what we're seeing over here. So this gives very much of a different tone to what we're seeing. Let's explore both of those as we go through the parak. So the first little section runs from Pasuk Aleph, really, to Pasuk Ches. This seems to be unequivocally dealing with the north. Even in the Radak's perspective, Ephraim seems to be the main object of this prophecy. And Hashem says that I'm going to tell you, Motzochein Bamidbar, Am Seridei Charev. Hashem remembers the times, the youth of the relationship between the nation of Israel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this everlasting love. Avas Olam, Ahavtich, I've loved you for all eternity. I'm going to rebuild you, B'Lusolas Yisrael. Talk about the freshness of this relationship, and Hashem is going to replant the nation of Israel in Israel. And he says, Kumu v'na letzion, he talks about Karu no tzrim b'har Ephraim. He calls to the watchmen on the mountains of Ephraim, come back, and he's asking them to come to return. And he describes, I'm going to bring you from the northern lands and bring you back into the all the people who are le'iver piseach, haravi, oledes yachdav, all the people who perhaps are more vulnerable in society, those who are blind, those who are lame, are going to be brought back into society, and everybody's going to come together under this. And he says the most remarkable statement. He says, Ephraim b'chorihu, I'm going to tell you, Israel, that I'm going to be your father again. I'm going to make Ephraim my firstborn. Ephraim, of course, is the son of Yosef, which means to say he's giving the lion's share, the firstborn share of leadership, not to Yehuda in the south, but back to Ephraim. Remember, there's been centuries of discord. There's been centuries where it hasn't been clear, is it Yehuda who's the king, or is Ephraim the king? Is it Yosef, is it Yehuda? Is it the Mashiach ben Yosef, or the Mashiach ben David? And what he's saying unequivocally is, let's forget the past. You are still my firstborn, Yosef. You're still one who's going to be the one who's going to be the king over here. That's a remarkable statement. In fact, this gets to really the core of who the target audience is. Obviously, it's to the north, but Rabbi Lau points out that in order to fix this with the north, he needs to really actually have gone there. Meaning, this would be blasphemous to have said in the territory of Yehuda, because it's so welcoming to the northern kingdom. He would have had to actually have walked from Anasos up north to have rendered this prophecy. In this whole area, you'll notice that there's imagery of the vineyard bringing the grapes in and being makadesh it, sanctifying it. What the Malbim points out is that right now, in the state of affairs, the remaining Israelites who are staying in the northern kingdom. A lot of them have been exiled. They've been interdispersed with people from foreign territories who live there called Shomronim, and they kind of eating the fruit and just, you know, living the life. Whereas what he is asking them to do is I'm going to tell you there's going to come a time where you'll be able to take the grapes back to the house of Hashem and bring Bikurim and do Neta Revoi and do all the mitzvahs with them and re-sanctify the land that you're living on. So that's the message. First section. Then we move into the next section where he seems to broaden it from Pasuk Tes to Pasuk Yud Gimel, where he seems to broaden this to all of Israel. And Hashem says clearly through the mouth of Yirmiyahu, go tell everybody, tell the faraway islands, V'imru mizorei Yisrael yekaptenu, ushmaroi karoi edro, he who spread Israel all around is going to now bring them back. So Hashem is now giving a global prophecy on how Kadosh Baruch Hu bringing back all of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. And this over here is, the Malbim points out that as crazy as it was, as almost as miraculous as it was that Hashem spread Israel so far into so many different places in the world, that degree of you know, remarkable spreading is going to be reversed now, where Hashem is remarkably going to unspread them and bring them all back to the land of Israel. And we are privileged to be living in times where we're seeing that kibbutz galios, we're seeing that. But just to give you a quick snippet, famously there's a story about a Chabad shliach whose name is Rav Avram Berkowitz, who went to Alaska, to a city, a little village called Kutzebue, which is 70% of the people Eskimo. He went to an elementary school, and he asked, they displayed the Inuit dances, and he asked them, you know, does anybody here ever meet a Jew? One girl raises her hand, and she says, yes, I have. It's my mother is a Jew. So he said to her, you know, I want you to tell you something special. You know, this area in Alaska is probably the last place that Shabbos is coming in over the earth. I need you to be lighting these candles, to be the last person who brings Shabbos in every year. That's the way he's reached it. But think about that. Think about the Jews spread across the globe. Yirmiyahu was saying, globally, Hashem's going to pull them out from wherever they are, no matter how deep, no matter how far. And then famously, the next section in Yudalad to Tezayin, Yirmiyahu now says, he talks about this voice heard on high, Kol Baramon Yishma. And it is, who is it? It is Rachel Mevako Alboneha. She's not going to be comforted. She's not stopping crying. And she cries for the return of her children. Hashem says, I've heard your call, crying. Stop crying. I'm going to shov bonim livulam. And your children are going to come back to their territory. Why Rachel? Why is it her who is crying? Rabbi Lau says in his commentary over here, well, simple, because again, he's now evoking he's trying to bring back the memory of the unification of the two, of the north and the south. And of course, the north is represented by Yosef, Ephraim, and that, of course, the matriarch is Rachel. So he's talking to them to sort of re-enfranchise them. Whereas Rashi says, and more famously, as we know, Rashi tells us the reason why it's Rachel is because Rachel had a claim. This goes back to a Medrash which says that when Menashe set up the evil king Menashe, in the tribe of Yehuda, set up a tzelam in a heichal. He put up an image of Avodah Zarah in the temple. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to all of us and said, how can you defend your children? And none of them had any claims again to defend Bnei Israel. Came to Rachel, and Rachel said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can you have rachamim on your children? I brought my sister into the relationship and I kept quiet to allow her not to be embarrassed. How can you keep quiet when your children are going to go into God? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what, I will bring them back. And that's the way it is, which is why the Zohar says Rachel's buried on the side of the road, because she was buried at the place where they were being taken out of Yerushalayim. She sat there weeping where they were passing her to bring them back. Famously, the story is told of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, who says, you know, in a famous story, he used to daven at a Kever Rachel very often, and one time he says, Vei nochamo, he says, Mama Rachel, you know, Hashem told you to stop crying, please cry again. And this, you know, Shreki immortalized that with his famous song, Mama Rachel. That story, where please, HaKadosh Rachel, pray for your children that they should come back. This all comes from this perek in Nach. Then in the next section, from Yud Zayin to Chof Dalet, he talks about the return of the lost tribes. The 10 tribes are going to come back, and I'm going to bring you back. Nosasi Cherpas Neurai, Haven Yakir Li Ephraim, my son Ephraim is so precious to me, Yemyered Shashuim, and I will always remember him. Famous, you know, pasuk we quote in Rosh Hashanah Musaf. It's a song where he's going to remember them. How is this possible? So the instruction manual is actually in pasuk Chof Hatzivi Loch Tzionim. Make yourself signs. What are these signs? The Gemara in Eruvin, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, tells us that the way we're supposed to do this, Rav Tachlifa would say, that what this means is you need to make signs with the Torah. Asu Tzionim LaTorah. Make signs to the Torah, make ways to remember your culture, because only with the Torah will you actually continue. And if you look back in the annals of Jewish history, it's only the Jews who are keeping Torah, who had really had grandchildren to speak about being so part of the same tradition. All the new great ideas, all the cultures that we adopted throughout all the ages did not take us too far. It's only Hatzivilach Tzionim, which allowed us to stay as we are. Finally, as we move towards the end of the parak, Yirmiyahu then says in Pasuk Chofei, in the most remarkable Pasuk, Alzoisi Kitzoisi Ve'ereh Ushnoisi Arvoli, I woke up and it was so sweet to me. What he's saying is Yirmiyahu, after waking up from this vision, he says, oh, this is so beautiful. Can you imagine living Yirmiyahu's life, the bitterness, having to rebuke, the doom, the reprimanding, people rejecting him? All his life is bitterness. He wakes up one day and he sees this prophecy. He says, oh, it's so sweet to me. Can you imagine? This is the moment he lived for. He wanted this vision of the ultimate redemption. And he adds in this section, it's not going to be said anymore that the parents are going to eat these, you know, unripened grapes, and the children's teeth will be sharpened, it will hurt their teeth. What he's saying is the ultimate claim to all the diaspora Jews, the ones already in Bavel now, he's saying, don't think because your parents sinned, you're not going to get out. Don't think because of what they left you, you're stuck, because ultimately you are going to come back on your own merit. If you choose to, you can come back. And that's why he moves into the next section, which is about the new covenant, from Pasuk Lamed to Pasuk Lamed Vav, where he talks about this new covenant that he's going to make with Israel. The Abarbe Del Kefri points out that this does not mean New Testament. This is not new Torah. The Torah is the same. The relationship to the Torah is going to be different. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm going to make it inextricably written on your hearts in a way that you will be identified through the Torah, you'll be identified through my relationship with you, and it won't be ever rejected. That's what seems to be mentioned over here. Finally, he closes the parak. It's a long parak, but just to quickly, he closes the parak with the last little section from Lamed Zayin to Lamed Tes, which really focuses on the fact that there's not going to be any more destruction, and that Yerushalayim is going to spread beyond its boundaries. It's going to be, you know, V'nosav, V'ga'asah, it's going to be called Emek, P'gorim, V'adeshem. It's going to be this great place, this center and metropolis. And from now on inwards, this is what Yerushalayim is going to represent, this bastion of holiness, this bastion of God in the world. We should be able to be zeichim to see that. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.